If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-Azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to be talking about the prayer rules according to the laws issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
SubhanAllah.
Sheikh Javed, since we are talking about Ayatollah Khamenei's Islamic rules and laws on prayer, let me start off this episode with this question. You know, we know the importance of congregational prayer or Jama'at prayer. Can Muslims offer their recommended prayers also in congregation?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. According to Shiite religious authorities, it is not permissible to offer the mustahab prayers in Jama'ah, in congregation. No matter what the excuse, no matter what reason you might bring up to justify yourself, it's not permissible. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not permissible for, because if you offer a mustahab prayer in Jama'ah, it's a kind of creating bid'ah, which was created in the early period of Islam. You know, one of the caliphs, announced that, okay, people should, in the month of Ramadan, should offer the nawafil of Ramadan, you know, because there are 1,000 rakats of prayer which are in both Shia and Sunni branches of faith.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that, okay, people should offer those prayers in Jama'ah because there is more sawab and so on and so forth. But, you know, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam at that time was strictly opposed to it, you know. And that's why we see that such an innovation, such a bid'ah should not occur in our religion, and we should not offer the mustahab prayers in Jama'ah.
I see. Okay. How is it possible for a person in the wilderness to determine the direction of the Qibla? You know, for one thing, for example, or one solution that can come to my mind is to like offer your prayer in four directions for your prayer to be at least valid or accepted. But is it okay to do so, or no, there is a technique or a strategy that you recommend?
Well, if you are certain, okay, that the Qibla is in a specific direction, okay, either it's on towards the east or west or north or south, then you will have to follow your certainty. You have to act according to what you believe to be the direction of
Qibla.
You
mean your gut feeling that, for example, the Qibla is this way?
Yeah. If there's no other way, if you can't find the direction, you can ask other people, or you can look at the graves of Muslims, or you can go to, for example, if there is a mosque, but you talked about a person being in an open area where he does not have access to a mosque.
Mm-hmm.
But let's assume that someone is in the city and there is a mosque. He can go to the mosque and see the mihrab or the altar of the mosque where and the direction to which the altar is, you know. The mihrab is, so he can easily find the direction. He can also look at the graves of Muslims, because Muslims are supposed to be to be buried in the direction of Qibla, with their heads on the right, and their left towards the side, and the belly is towards the direction of Qibla, once buried. So if these are not possible, if none of these ways are possible through which one can determine the direction of Qibla, then of course one has to follow his guess, you know, his conjecture, whatever you call. If you, for example, if you have a strong feeling, let's say you think that it's very much likely that a certain direction is the direction of Qibla, then you can offer your prayers in that direction.
Yes.
But if there's no such feeling and you don't think that any direction is very much possible or very much likely to be the direction of Qibla, then it is the last method to follow and to make sure that you have offered your prayer in that direction of Qibla is to offer your prayers in four directions.
Mm-hmm.
Four directions.
I see.
Yes. Four directions means that, okay, one direction at least will be towards the Qibla.
I see.
So that's the last, method.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javed. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue our program about the prayer rules. Stay with us.
لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws, on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about Ayatollah Khamenei's Islamic Laws on prayer and the rules about prayer. And I wanted to ask you, Sheikh, about the deviation from the Qibla. You know, those days when we were like in schools, back in those days, we learned a few tricks. In mm-hmm. fact, if you are like far away from a city, like in a forest or somewhere like in the desert, mm-hmm. You'll be able to somehow find out your way or yeah. navigate. Sure. Basically, if you find the north, like if it is the night, then through the northern star, you'll be able to find out, at least in the northern hemisphere, mm-hmm. You can determine which way or which direction is the north. So yes. by determining the north, you'll be able to find out the south. So it's the opposite
sure.
direction, right? Mm-hmm. So across from the north is the south, and then 30 degrees from, like deviated from the south, that would be the Qibla direction. Okay. So that would be one of the easiest ways, in fact, to find out where the Qibla is or yes. directed at. All right? So there were a few tricks learned back then in the school or from the school subjects that we used to learn.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you about this. If none of these ways are possible, then how many degrees of deviation from the Qibla, in fact, are exempted or ignored in order for a valid prayer?
Yeah, you're right. Grand Ayatollah Khamenei says that, okay, if you find out after praying, mm-hmm. after praying, not before praying, of course, that you have offered, that you have deviated from the Qibla at least 90 degrees, okay? 90 degrees. 90 degrees deviation is exempted, and you don't need to repeat your prayer.
Yes.
Need 90 degrees. Well, obviously, after you offer your prayers and you realize that you have been, you have deviated from the Qibla mm-hmm. and 90 degrees. But if you are offering your prayers and you find yourself that you have, find in while offering your prayer and you realize that you are not offering your prayer in the direction of Qibla, you are, to some degree, you are deviated from the right direction. 10 degrees. Yeah, you're right. So in that case, again, you need to adjust yourself, mm-hmm. position yourself in the right direction. And of course, less than 10 degrees, of course, even if it is deliberate to some extent, if you know, if you are not, you know, caring about that, you know, that kind of deviation,
yes.
it will not affect your prayer. But if it's more than 10, mm-hmm. then it shouldn't be a kind of negligence on your part. You should mm-hmm. not deviate from that, from the direction of Qibla intentionally and deliberately, knowing that that's not the direction of Qibla, okay? Mm-hmm. So
if, what should they do?
Yeah, if while...
Should they break their prayer?
No, you shouldn't. You should adjust yourself.
Uh-huh.
You, while praying, you should just...
No, I'm talking about after, the like more than 10 degrees.
If after prayer you find out that you have deviated from the Qibla, again, your prayer is valid.
Okay.
I said that 90 degrees. If during prayers, of course, you have to adjust yourself.
Uh-huh.
Adjust yourself. That is the main. But if it's more than 90 degrees, of course, you have to repeat your prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You have to repeat the prayer.
And while praying, you have to stop it then.
And while praying, you have to stop it because you have to turn all the way. You know,
mm-hmm.
you have to position yourself, change your position.
Too difficult,
yeah.
more than 90 degrees.
So, yeah, it is. It's kind of, you know, completely rotating. And so you should stop and pray your prayers in the right direction.
Okay. Since we have, again, 1 minute to the end of the program, let me ask you or squeeze in another question here in our program. One of the conditions of prayer, as we all know, as all Muslims know, is to cover oneself during the prayer, right?
Yes.
So does it mean one should cover themselves, in fact, only when there are strangers around, or no? If there aren't any people, then it is not obligatory to cover yourself.
Well, there are many people who are under the impression that you needn't cover yourself when there are no non-mahram people seeing
yes.
you, okay? For example, if you are in a bathroom or you are in a room there with no one, with mm-hmm. no mahram or non-mahram relative,
yes.
you shouldn't cover yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's not correct, you know? While praying, you need to cover yourself, man or woman, okay? And of course, for men, the dress code is
different.
Is different, of
yes.
course. And the men should cover their private parts. Women should cover all parts of their body except
mm-hmm.
their faces and hands to the wrist and their feet, okay? Feet are not supposed to be covered while praying by a woman. But if there are non-mahram men around, and if she may be seen by non-mahram men, then it is necessary for the woman to cover her feet and legs as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Thank you all for listening to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Rahman Rahim, Mannan Kareem, Salam Alim, La ilaha illa hu, Ghaffar Jameel, Wahhab Latif, Tawwab Sami'un Basir, La ilaha